Coming to you from Dujardin Elementary School in Bloomingdale, Illinois, this is The Roar Podcast, where we share the magic taking place for all learners.
Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019.
And I'm here with some very special guests. We have a District 13 Superintendent, Dr. Bartelt, with us today, as well as five Rockstar fifth graders. We're going to share their experience in creating and reflecting upon their Ignite speeches. So, Dr. Bartelt, tell us a little bit about the story with the Ignite speeches. How did you hear about them?
I got some feedback from our staff that when I was presenting our district overview at our first opening day meeting, that it was kind of long, and that it was hard sometimes to follow all the different points that I was trying to make, and that while the points were pretty important, they weren't presented in a way that allowed for the audience to see it in the context of why the whole presentation was important. And so the message often got segmented and people focused on one part of the presentation. And so I began to look at what are some of the other ways that we could present information so that people can attend to it. And that's the other part of this, is I think that audiences can only attend to a certain degree of time. And I look at 5 minutes as being your maximum amount of time. When you're watching a YouTube video, you'll watch a video that's maybe 5 minutes and you'll remember a great deal of the content of it. But if you're watching a YouTube video that may be 20 or 25 or 30 minutes long, you're probably not going to remember as much of the content as you would probably like. So cutting to the point and getting to the heart of a presentation was my first step, and I used the District 13 staff as my experimental group. Got a lot of positive feedback on the first Ignite, and then I was asked to present an Ignite to the state superintendents in Springfield, and so I did that on standards-based grading and reporting, and learned a lot more of my techniques to improve my presentation, because some of the tips and techniques that I use include much more visual, a lot less words in my presentation. I supply the words when I'm doing the talking. Let the slides present the image that I want to support. Not so much on data, because data can get a little jumbled up, and the size of the numbers doesn't always show up on the screen the way you want it to. So if people are seeking data, you can offer them links at a later time, or post the presentation so that they can go back and find their source. But over time, I found it to be a very effective way of keeping people's attention on a topic and allow for some interaction with the audience at the end. It's a lot more of a meaningful feedback session and a give and take that I find more valuable for me as a presenter.
And for those of you, our listeners, who don't really know exactly what an Ignite speech is, if you click on the link in the description of this podcast, there's going to be a lot more information for you that's going to give you a really super clear picture of exactly what it looks like, some different examples, how to roll it out in the classroom, and lots more. But back to Dr. Bartelt. What do you think about students doing Ignite speeches in their classrooms? Well, is that something that ever crossed your mind when you gave that speech to the staff?
You know, I didn't think about the application in the classroom, but I think it's awesome that students are doing these things, because I think this is going to help. It helps you take a very broad subject and whittle it down to its essential elements. It forces you to engage in an editing process in the way you present that you're going to be asked to do when you're an adult. And so to me, the value in practicing using the Ignite format is only going to serve you well as you're growing older and going forward, no matter what occupation you choose to pursue.
That's awesome. All right, from here we're going to turn it over to our students. So kids, how did you feel when your teachers introduced the Ignite speech format and the activity to you guys?
I think I speak for the whole grade when I say either half the class was super excited or really, really worried.
Same with our class. Our class was actually really worried because they're like, oh my God, we have no script. How are we supposed to memorize all of it?
It was just a really different platform, and we got to learn a lot of new things. But when the first thought came, it was just really scary for some people.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with everyone. It was scary for a lot of people. I enjoyed it, but a lot of people were just so used to reading off. Now they have no script in their hands. All they have is their slideshow on the board.
Almost all the kids in my class were all crossing their fingers and saying, please pick me last, please pick me last to go.
So it wasn't initially like, yes, I'm so excited, this is going to be great. It was kind of like,
mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Mixed feelings. Yeah. Some people were excited to do it because they got to try this new thing that had been not introduced yet, so they got to be more free with it. And other people were worried because of that same fact. They didn't know what to do.
Right. And it's new territory. It's sometimes uncomfortable, but we know that when we're uncomfortable, it tends to be when we grow the most, right?
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like four people in my class, they were the only ones who really wanted to go. Everybody was really nervous. Thought they would mess up.
But y'all did it.
Yeah.
How is this specific project different than the ones you had done before in class?
I think this is, different because, everything, all the slides that have like a lot of words and everything, it's kind of like boring mostly because you're just sitting there and they're just like reading off the slides. This is like you have more visual and
I feel like this wasn't only different for the presenter, it was also different for the audience because the audience was now like kind of more excited. It went by fast and they saw the images and it wasn't just like, okay, yeah, I see you can read, I can read too. Like, and it was different totally for the presenter to have not having a script.
Yeah, usually the readers get bored when the presenter has a slideshow with all words, but now they were really interested because they didn't know what you were going to say next.
They have to really tune in and listen instead of just see everything else.
It wasn't really just the images they saw. They saw your creativity. They saw a part of you on that slideshow.
And it's like if they see your pictures and they kind of can try to visualize a lot more.
Exactly.
They kind of know what's happening. They're like, I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like usually on the slideshow, they read the whole slide ahead of you, and then they just sit there bored, not paying attention to you reading.
Right, and something that Dr. Bartel also mentioned was to take big ideas and lots of information and synthesize it into a single or one or two images is a skill that's not necessarily that easy when you're taking the whole theme of a book and you really have to think of one symbol to represent that or take something of a person that you presented on or something and really think about it in a different way. That's a skill for you that's really valuable. That was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In my class, my personal experience, we didn't have to read a book. We had to go through articles and we picked a topic that we thought was necessary to tell everyone inside of our classroom about. And we all had different points of view when it came to pros or cons on the topic.
In our class, I had to study a superhero. And first we wrote an essay and everything, and then we would go off of the essay and we would say, okay, maybe we could add like a dollar bill or something that represents their wealth in their childhood. And then maybe we'd go to their adulthood and say, okay, they accomplished this college or whatever. We'll put like a school.
Really nice, because we had to really become, because we were doing it on a book, we really had to become passionate on that book and really, really, and that also kind of like taught us, like some people really learn about like what books they like, because they really had to like get into it and memorize all these stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also like help them with reading and those kind of things, not just like what they
and
tell me more about the project.
We had to find the perfect image to remind you of what you were gonna talk about. Like when I was talking about point of view, I got a picture of someone's point of view looking down into the city.
Yeah.
Cause it was third person.
I remember for mine, I remember having a little person and they're just kind of like this, and it was kind of like a manager. And then the imagery was like a bunch of money lying on them and they're kind of smushed down. It kind of shows them what's happening without telling them what's happening.
Yeah, because like when you look back, you know, okay, so that's image. And then that reminds you what you're going to say.
It signals it. Yeah. You know, when you see the dollar bills on the screen, you should talk about the wealth of that person, you know, and how it affected their life or whatever the content is. Now, there are lots of challenges involved in the Ignite speech process. What was the hardest part for you?
I believe that the hardest part was memorizing your quotes, because either they were really long or they used words you couldn't comprehend. I feel that a lot of people either forgot their quotes or messed it up a little bit.
I feel like remembering the script, it was kind of hard, but I feel like most people got that, like, remembering part. It was most of, like, they got the wrong time, so they said all the information, but then they kind of stood there, and there were still pictures. So I feel like we kind of learned time management to, like, have the right amount of time.
I agree with Karina, yeah. Remembering the quotes, like, I could make up those things every time. I could do something different every time, but it would still be roughly the same, but the quote, I had to nail it in my head, because that's a quote. I also thought what was hard was, like, you were talking, and there's only a couple times you could look back before you were literally reading the screen, and if you were talking on one side and it changed and you didn't know, you would still be talking on it. But if you did it too short, you would just be waiting.
Yeah, I think the hardest part was trying to memorize your whole thing, and then when... And then, like, if it was really long, like, you only had 15 seconds a slide, like, if your thing was really long, you had to kind of say it really fast or kind of shorten it down, or if it was really short, you had to lengthen it.
Yeah, because, like, for our class test, some of it, like, did to, like, 10 seconds, then they're like, oh, I think it's better if we do 15 seconds, we'll just add some more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the students have the choice of how long they wanted their slides to rotate and when they publish to the web within the Google Slide platform. So what was the most rewarding part? What was the best part?
Just being up there, and when you finish and you hear the applause, you just realize it wasn't as bad as you thought it was in the beginning.
Yeah, and you kind of realize that, like, this is preparing you, and then you kind of, like, you get, like, this feeling, you're like, yeah, I just did this. Like, I just did an Ignite speech, and it's really good to think about it.
You got, like, 20 images, and you somehow crammed it into one slideshow to make a presentation that made sense, and you're happy with the final result that, like, you did good, or, like, something else like that. Everyone applauds, and you just sit down, and you watch other people go up there.
Yeah, I think the best part is, like, you find, like, you, when you finish, you think you did really bad, but you get your grades back, and then you find out that you did really good.
Because sometimes you guys are harder on yourselves than the teachers are on
you. Yeah.
And you find just that little bit of courage in you that shows you that, yes, you can do it. Just even though you didn't believe in it at first, you can still do it.
Somebody mentioned earlier about, like, creativity run wild. Like, you felt like you could just be you,
free with it.
You had the choices. Like, you created it exactly how you wanted to.
Yeah, it's not like your teacher just said, okay, you got to find an image about that. You have to find an image about that.
You didn't have a rubric telling you what you had to do, what the requirements were. This was you doing your best, letting your creativity do whatever it wanted on the slideshow.
This is kind of like when we did our, what was it called, our Genius Hour project. Like, it wasn't the teacher saying, okay, we have to do this assignment at this time. Or, like, we have to do these images, and these words. We could just let our minds be free and do whatever topic we were. We could put in images. We could put in some words. We could put in whatever quote. We could do whatever we want. It was like we had control of our project.
Yeah, the sky was the limit, and we had, like, so much freedom to really do what we knew best, and so the images would, like, correlate with what we were thinking, not exactly with what we had to do, and everybody's was drastically different in, like, a good way.
Yeah, like, you could do, you could put a picture of maybe a rocket ship for the mood of the story, and it just wouldn't matter, because that's what reminded you of the mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. Now that you've completed the Ignite speeches, what advice do you have for students and for teachers? So, like, let's talk students first. What would you say to students who have to do an Ignite speech?
Don't take this like you are having these requirements that your teacher expects of you, just you don't know them. You should just take this as, I get to do something by myself. This is my freedom. I finally get to do this really creative Ignite speech.
Yeah, because it's, like, you're using, like, your creativity. Like other times, you have, like, a rubric and everything like that. Now, you can just do whatever you want. You can put it, like, whatever symbols you want that represent whatever you're going to say.
Exactly. A major tip that I had was kind of, like, use a lot of, like, hand motions and, like, do different tones because mm-hmm. you might have something really important to say and a really good way to put it, and then you just have to take that really extra step so that it looks appealing and, like, it looks like somebody would want to listen to it.
I agree. My drama teacher, whenever we were trying to remember something, she'd tell us to do a gesture because that would help you remember mm-hmm. a lot. So gesturing, like, if you said something that was really big and you put your arms out, that would kind of, you would remember your arms going out, and then you would remember that.
Yeah, and that would also be more interesting.
Yeah, I would also say another tip is to not put so much weight on yourself to do this. Like, don't cram for it. Because if you do it slow and you do it right, it could be really fun.
Although you do want to practice, don't be a perfectionist when it comes to this. People want to see a part of you, not just these images that you put up on a slide that you're reading off. They want to see how you took this on.
And also, to let off some weight for yourself as well, think, while you're doing it, just think in the back of your mind, it's okay, everyone else is going to do theirs. And they're not just going to remember mine. They're not watching all my imperfections because they don't know what's been going through my head. If I slip up in my script, they don't know I did that.
Exactly. You guys are all going through the same thing, so everybody knows how you feel at the same time.
The tip that I have is, like, just, like, have fun, you know, just, like, relax, just, like, let go, just, like, you know, because you made the slideshow.
Yeah.
That was your work. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what somebody's going to say about it.
Do you think teachers should do these with their students?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was unanimous, and to all our listeners, I didn't pay them to say that, just FYI.
But yeah, because I was really nervous about it, but when I finally got presenting,
You proved to yourself you could do it.
The reason I feel that, though, is because it shows you that someone isn't going to be behind you every single step of the way telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a little sense of that freedom that, like, and at the same time worry that, like, okay, I don't have someone behind me this time. This is all on me, and I got it.
And I also like it because it's also something new to help your brain. Because, like, imagine going to work, and then you're reading off something, and it would be so boring if you were just reading off just words. Because Ignite speeches help you express yourself a little bit more other than words. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words.
No matter what you guys want to do when you grow up and what kinds of careers that you want to have, communication and public speaking, maybe not public speaking in a whole group, but talking to people is a skill that, no matter your profession, is going to be important. So experiences like this are stepping stones for whatever the amazing things that you're going to do in your future. Will you remember this project experience as one of, like, your standout ones from fifth grade, maybe even your time at an elementary school?
Yeah. After you do it, you'll want to do it again.
Yeah, I feel
like on a lot of people, actually, when we did projects after the Ignite speech, they kind of added a little element. Like, if we were, like, for science, I remember when we were doing, like, constellations and things, we had to do a slide presentation. But, like, a lot of people would turn around and, like, not have, like, some words, but have mostly pictures. And they would use it. They would, like, keep on using it in Ignite. It wasn't this one thing. And people were like, okay, oh, my goodness, this was so scary. People were like, yeah, I did this. Now I can, like, and I realized, like, it was funner for me and it was funner for my audience. So I'm going to keep on using it.
Yeah, that was really similar to Ignite presentation, but for that project, for the Constellation one that people were doing, you weren't timed. But I think it's better to be timed so that, like, you can just get to the main idea.
And you're not talking forever. You're not, like, in this Constellation, and you're not giving so many details, because when you give too much details, somewhere in your brain you're thinking, oh, people are just getting lots of details. But really, what everyone's thinking is, this is too much. These are too many details. I can't keep this all in my head.
And then they start losing their attention to you, and then finally they're just not listening at all.
And, like, you don't want your audience, when you're done, to be relieved, to be like, yay, he's finally done. Yeah. You want them to, like, actually enjoy and be like, wow, like, actually, like, sincerely clap.
Do more.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I feel that everyone in this room right now could agree that everyone who went up there and did that next speech showed a part of themselves and did amazing.
Well,
they
definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Audience, I have to remind myself, I'm sitting here with 5 fifth graders right now because these kids are just unbelievable. What they have created is truly incredible. Please click on the link and see their Ignite presentations because they are so worth it and you're going to be blown away just as their teachers were. Any last words, you guys, on Ignite speeches?
Mostly just try your best, be you, and have fun.
Yeah, definitely. Just take this loosely and be glad that you get this opportunity. Yeah.
Remember, you have one word and you have a picture, which is worth 1,000 words. Yeah. Which is what an Ignite speech is.
I also want to say that sometimes it's actually good to be nervous because when you're doing your Ignite speech and you have that like little some butterflies in your stomach, that kind of like told you that like you actually want to do your best and you're not just like, okay, I'm just gonna do this. Like you actually were trying to do it, and since everybody was nervous, it really showed that like we really did care and wanted to do our best.
Yeah, I get that.
You guys are unreal, inspirational, and audience, you'll be here with me when these kids grow up and become famous and all that jazz. So thank you so much for being a part of the Roar podcast.
Bye.
We are so proud of the great learning taking place at DJ. If you have any questions, please email us at jeggert@sd13.org, and we'll be sure to get right back to you. We'd also love to hear any ideas that you have. Let's put our heads together. Thanks for listening. This has been The Roar, signing off.